Moncrief on News Talk.
The path through life used to be this, more or less. You leave home to go to college, where you share a ratty apartment with seven of your friends. You get a job where you share a slightly less ratty apartment with four of your friends. You meet someone and fall in love. You move in together, renting at first, but eventually buying your own home. For the average young person today, none of that seems to be possible. It's difficult not to be completely pessimistic. Mally Coyne is a clinical psychologist based in Galway. Mally, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sean. How are you?
Not too bad. Even if you're a student now, starting third level, you know, and they'd be aware of that kind of path through life, and probably even the first one, they're not even going to be able to manage. They're going to have to commute.
Yeah, it's really difficult. Like, I have clients who are students at the moment who, you know, have just found out where, you know, they've accepted a place last week and they're not quite sure where they're going to be living. And, you know, I heard of a girl who was saying, you know, she had viewed somewhere, but there were plenty of other students viewing that same place and, you know, really anxious about not being able to get that place. And I suppose we really need to think about, I suppose, the scale of the housing crisis in Ireland generally, in terms of rising rents, insecurity, difficulty getting mortgages, long waiting lists for social housing, and link this to the uncertainty for young adults. Like, I'm seeing young adults now where, you know, they're at that, as you said, Sean, that natural developmental stage where they feel like, okay, I'm going to like move in with friends, you know, in college, and then I'm going to eventually get my own place, meet a partner, all of those things. And at the moment, their developmental stage where independence, stability and planning for the future is actually being impacted by the housing crisis. So that is leading to what's called housing crisis anxiety.
Yeah. And even for those young people, I suppose, because for many people older than that, you know, moving into a place for the first time when you're in college and you make new friends, it's almost like an important developmental stage, but they're not even being given the chance to reach that stage. So it doesn't have an effect on them psychologically.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm sure you've heard of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, which is a kind of a very prominent psychological theory that looks at like what are the basic needs of a human being. Firstly, we have physiological and safety needs, which are the base of the pyramid, which is about having a secure roof over one's head being fundamental. And without it, people can't reliably sleep, eat well or feel safe. And then, you know, property would be another aspect. I know, I mean, I am half Dutch and I know in Holland people are quite happy to just rent for their lives. But I know that that's different in Ireland. People want to own a property. It's just the way the Irish psyche is. But you have to think about if you don't have stable housing, it's like stable housing is the foundation for building relationships, which is the next stage of the Maslow's hierarchy. Because it allows you to invite friends over, settle with a partner, raise a family, have fun with your friends, whatever else. And then that can kind of undermine your esteem, which is your, which ties into your sense of achievement, independence, self-worth. And when that's unattainable, you might feel inadequate or left behind, because it's really hard not to personalize it when, you know, you've been outbid or somebody else has got the room that you really wanted. You know, as a human being, you do personalize and you also compare to others. So you might be looking at others going, how come they have secured that place? You know, and so it can really have an impact on your self-esteem. But also research has shown that chronic housing insecurity is linked to higher rates of anxiety, depression, even physical health problems, and is a major source of stress for a lot of young people today. And it is bearing out in the therapy room for me as well.
Yeah. So in that set of instances, but it all becomes a bit too much, are they more inclined to just give up?
Yeah, I mean, there can be that where you have to kind of take a break from, you know, when you're so kind of, you know, focused on getting something and it's not working out for you, you might need to like take a step back from that and go, well, you know, I need to try another tack it's too much for me now. If you hopefully have somewhere else that you can actually go. A lot of people are still living with their parents, which is hard for them and also hard for their parents, because family relationships can be hugely impacted when you've got an adult, I suppose, living at home. But, you know, I think really trying to not take it personally, this is a systemic issue. This is an issue in Ireland that's not personal to you, even though I know it's really difficult for a person that's experiencing it. So, you know, I have had, you know, I can see the kind of like natural tendency maybe not to hang around with your friends that have houses or in a better place in your mind than you are. But I think a really important thing to do is to connect with other people, because when we feel like we're really alone with this and, you know, it's just not working out for us, it can feel very personal. And I think connecting with others in similar situations, going on boards, you know, finding friends who understand how you feel is truly important, as is like compassion for yourself as well.
Is there also a kind of one of those things that if you're using up a lot of your energy to try and face to find a place to live, whether to rent or to buy, that's all you see? It can become a bit obsessional.
Totally. I mean, I remember when I was trying to get pregnant many years ago and everybody around me was pregnant. You know, it's like, or, you know, it's just one of those things. You start to kind of, you know, your lens becomes very narrow, and you're probably then being fed on social media anything to do with housing. So every time you open your whatever it is, your Snapchat or whatever you're doing, it's constantly there as a reminder. So I think if this is really impacting on you, because it can do, and it can manifest in things like sleeplessness and, you know, just rumination, as you said, real physiological symptoms of anxiety, talk to somebody. If, you know, it's not enough support within your immediate circle, to speak to a professional about that, maybe take your foot off the accelerator for a little while, give yourself a little break, and, you know, maybe think of other ways to develop. I kind of talk to clients about what's controllable and what's not controllable. And it's not controllable, the situation in Ireland, unfortunately, although, of course, people do join advocacy groups and that can be a really good thing for you to do. But what is within your control right now? Well, connecting with other people, you know, maybe continuing to save up, having many different plans, continuing to live your life is really important, as much as you can. And really having compassion for yourself and for others to have compassion for you as well.
Yeah. And on that point, my general sense is about the housing crisis that from the slightly older generation, the kind of smug boomers, is that you hear two things. One is it's all the media's fault. They're painting a picture. It's far more grim than it actually is. The other one is, well, you know, you didn't have to pay 16% in mortgage rate and all that kind of stuff. So they're getting two conflicting messages there. If, you know, for older people who are listening, who might even be looking at the prospect of one of their kids moving back in, what should they say to those kids?
I suppose to let them, I mean, I know every family relationship is different, but, you know, if your child is going through that, and they will always be your child, even if they're an adult, I would hope that there's, you know, that they're welcome, that they feel a sense of welcome, you know, to be in the house with you. Yes, you might have to find your own new boundaries in terms of, you know, division of labor within the house and privacy and all those different things that might happen. But I think really, I think any human being out there, when they're facing any type of difficulty, validation is key. Yes, you can move on to the problem solving after that and talk about like what can we do as a plan of action, or what might be able to help you, you know, like supporting them through it. We'll like go and look at that house with you. You know, but I think validation is key, because it is hard. Like I didn't have to go through this when I was young. I just, you know, rented, you know, with friends in college, and there wasn't this pressure. And I really think being a young person is like a pressure cooker nowadays. And I know older generations, we might complain and say, oh, well, they're, you know, they don't really have to like worry the way we did about whatever. But actually, this is very this is critical to your mental well-being. So compassion all round, Sean.
Mally, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was Dr. Mally Coyne there, a chartered clinical psychologist based in Galway. Just one or two comments on that. One texter says, the reality of trying to even live alone and rent in Dublin means you must be prepared to spend well over $2,000 a month to live in a hovel. It is hard to not get depressed about this when it's your life. Somebody else says, our child is back home in their 30s. We're in our 70s. Nobody wants to set up, but there is no other choice. What advice is there for coping with the situation? Well, as you heard Mally there, it's not probably that useful, but, you know, try to be as kind to each other as possible. That life path described is quite recent. For most of my generation, it was leave school at 17, get a good job as you can, meet someone by the age of 21, buy a house together, be married by 25. You live with your parents until you got married. Unless you had to move because of work. Yeah, that's true. That wasn't too long ago. That kind of thing happened as well. And finally, a texter says, it's not just young people. I'm 54 and going through this. My landlord just sold. I'm 7 years in this house.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.